Okay, good morning. Special Erev Shabbos Kodesh women for joining us in our every other week Shabbos Kodesh class learning, making the time to inspire ourselves, be inspired, be mechazik in our Hava Shabbos, appreciation of Shabbos and Shmir Shabbos. So I decided today to prepare a special class that touches upon Teshuvah as well as Shabbos. It's a piece, the foundation of the class will be a piece by Rav Soloveitchik that touches upon the topic of Teshuvah as well as Shabbos, given that we are just hours away from the Yemei Hadin, Erev Shabbos, and of course this coming Monday night begins Tafshin Pei Beis, and the new year will be upon us. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing, and we're going to go to Mishnah in Maseches Yuma. Here we go. I prepared on the screen for you. Could you see it says Mishnah Yuma over here? Okay, perfect. So this is actually the very last Mishnah in Maseches Yuma, and it talks about the concept of repentance and cleansing, if you will, tahara. Okay, so let us begin. Maseches Yuma, Perek Ches, Mishnah Tes. It's the final Mishnah in the Masechta, Mishnayos. HaOmer, one who says, Echtav Ashuv, Emespikim Biyadullah Asos Teshuvah. One who says, I will sin and then I'm going to do Teshuvah. Echteh, I will sin and then I'm going to do Teshuvah. Emespikim Biyadullah Asos Teshuvah. So the Ribbono Shel Olam will not give him the capability of doing Teshuvah. Teshuvah is a real halachic process that a person must undergo with sincere repentance. You can't just say, every time I sin, I'm going to do Teshuvah and then there won't be any problem. I'm going to eat a cheeseburger, but I'll do Teshuvah tomorrow. I'm going to talk Lashon Hara, I'll do Teshuvah tomorrow. I don't know. I don't know any aveir, but I'm going to do Teshuvah. It's not a confession. There are certain religions where you can go into a kibbutz and you could confess every week and then you're cleansed. It doesn't work like that. You have to really undergo the process of repentance. If you say I'm going to sin, but it doesn't matter what I do the whole year, because I'm going to come to Yom Kippur, the climax of the service made teshuva, and automatically the day will give me repentance, because there is a concept of Itzu Moshe Yom Mechaper. The essence of the day brings atonement, and Yom Kippur is the Shabbat Shabbaton. So if on a regular Shabbos you beat the Ribbono Shel Olam and you have an aspect of elevated kedusha, Yom Kippur is the Shabbat Shabbaton or the Shabbat Shabbaton. So there's an intense meeting with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So it's fine. I'm going to sin the whole year. The Yom Kippur Mechaper, it doesn't matter because I'm going to come to Yom Kippur, I'm going to have automatic atonement. Ein Yom Kippur Mechaper, if that's your attitude the whole year, I could do whatever I want. When I come to Yom Kippur, automatically I'm going to have atonement. You're not going to have any atonement. Aveiro Shabin Adam Lamakom, Yom Kippur Mechaper. If a person goes through the normal process and halachic stages of teshuvah for sins between man and God, such as Shmir Shabbos, such as Basar B'chalav, such as Arba Minim, not doing it on Sukkot properly, such as not davening, if a person does teshuva for those sins, then Yom Kippurim will give you atonement. Aveiro shebein adam lechaveiro, however, sins between man and his fellow, ein Yom Kippurim mechaper ad sheyiratzeh es chaveiro. There's no atonement for sins bein adam lechaveiro until you appease your fellow. At Zed Darash Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Mikocha Tosechem of Nehashem Titaru. Because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, the Pasuk says in Vayikret Achrimos, where it describes the Seder Avodah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, the Pasuk says, Mikocha Tosechem Lifnei Hashem Titaru. Yom Kippur gives atonement for all sins before God. Meaning before God, but not before fellow men. From those you shall be purified and cleansed on Yom Kippur. So that's the proof that when it comes to being Adam Lechaveru, there's an extra stage which is asking Mechila. And if you don't go through that stage, then there will be no Kapara of Yom Kippur. Aveiro shebein Adam Lamakom Yom Kippur Mechaper. Aveiro shebein Adam Lechaveru Ein Yom Kippur Mechaper Ad sheyidaratza es chaveru. So it's a very beautiful Mishnah. I'm going to give one Ha'ara on the first statement of the Mishnah, because the real focus for our purposes of Shir is to come to the end of the Mishnah, although obviously the beginning is worthy of learning through as well. I'm just going to take a drink. I made a shahakol before I turn on my screen and my camera. It's a tea. It's chilly outside already, Baruch Hashem. I love it. I'm not complaining. The weather's changing. So if you look, I know Rivka Fuchs, me too, thumbs up. It's so beautiful when you open the windows and it's such fresh air. It's so, so, so nice. My kids are wearing sweatshirts this morning. So the first statement of the Mishnah, I say this every year before the Yom HaNoraim. So if you remember it, good. If you don't remember it or you never learned it, you're going to hear it for the first time. HaOmer, Achtav Ashuv, I went back to the first statement of the Mishnah. Achtav Ashuv, Eima Speakin Biyadu L'Asos Teshuvah. So I explained it first according to the Pshat of the Mishnah. One who says, I will return. I'm sorry. One who says I'm going to sin, but it doesn't matter. It's like magic. Then I'll do teshuva. Then tomorrow I'm going to sin. The next day I'm going to do teshuva. And then I'll eat the cheeseburger. I'll do teshuva. I'll talk Lashon Hara. I'll do teshuva. So in other words, your outlook is I'm purposely going to sin, but I know I have a magic confession. It doesn't work. There's no deal like that. But Rav Elimelech Biderman Shlita, Rav Meilich Biderman teaches a whole different level of interpretation on this Mishnah. Ha'omer, one who says Echtava Shuv. Every single time I sin, Ashuv, I'm going to do teshuva, and I don't mean to sin again. I'm going to do true repentance. Achta, oh my gosh, I just sinned. I fell into the clutches of the Yetzer. It doesn't matter. I'm going to rise up. Tzadiki polsheva v'kamu, rishayim v'kashu bera. Every time I sin, and it's going to be inadvertent, and it's going to be b'shogig, and even if it's under duress because of the Yetzer, I really didn't mean it. Ashuv, I'm going to really do sincere repentance. Ain ma speaking. There's no safek. B'yado lasos teshuva. The Rebbeinu Shalom will help him to do true repentance. It's such a ha'ara of tremendous chizuk. Achtava shuv. I sinned by accident. I'm a human being. I'm not a malach. I'm not perfect. I made a mistake. But ashuv, I'm now going to do teshuva. Oh my gosh, I was great for a month. Echta, I just sinned again. I can't believe it. I didn't mean to do it. And the Yetzer got the better of me. Ashuv, it's okay. I'm going to do true repentance. Ain ma speaking. There's no safek. There's no doubt, says Rabbi Biderman. Biyado lasos teshuva. It's in his capability, ultimately, to be a true chozer b'teshuva. It's a very, very beautiful verb. But now I want to go to the end of the Mishnah. Isn't that great, Malki Sota? Maybe you never heard me say it before. It's so beautiful. Amar Rabbi Akiva, the great Tana Rabbi Akiva says, I'm at the bottom of the Mishnah, Ashreichem Yisrael, you are fortunate, O Israel. How lucky are you, O Israel? Lifnei mi atem mitaharim, before who are you purified? O mi mitahar aschem, and who purifies you? Keep in mind, this is the great Rabbi Akiva, who was murdered and martyred al Kiddush Hashem, whose death of the Asarhu Gemalchus we read after the Avoda on Yom Kippur itself. Fortunate are you, O Israel, before who are you purified and who purifies you? Avichem Shabashamayim, your father in heaven, Shanema, like the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, Vizarakti Aleichem Mayim Tahorim Utahartim, I will sprinkle upon you waters of purification, you will be pure. So the Tahara comes from the Ribbono Shalom himself. Va'omer, the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Mikvah Yisrael Hashem. The Mikvah of Israel is God. And something important about this word Mikvah, it means a pool of water. Maisa Bereshus, Parag Ava Bereshus, it means a pool of water. It means hope. Kave al Hashem, Chazak v'yamitzibecha v'kave al Hashem. 27:14 in Tehillim from the Davar Hashem Ori. We're reciting it every day, twice a day. So it means a pool of water. It means hope. And it also means a line. L-I-N-E, Kav, a line. So when we have a line between us and God, like I think of like a baby with an umbilical cord who's always by that line of the cord attached to another, that's how we have to see ourselves. We're like a baby attached with a line between us and God, just like the baby with the umbilical cord. If it's severed, chas v'shalom, if that line is severed, God forbid, so the baby's finished. So if our line of life is severed from the Ribbono Shel Olam, chalila, even spiritually, so what kind of life do we have? Furthermore, he is our cleansing mikvah of water. And finally, he is our hope. Kaveh Hashem, Chazak v'yamitzibecha. Concludes Rabbi Kiva, Ma mikvah metahar es hatmeim, just like a mikvah purifies those who are impure. You go in tameh, you come out tahar, afa kolosh baruch hu metahar. So these are the very last words of Mishnah Yuma. So to you, Shino, it is a kolosh baruch hu who is metahar Yisrael, lifnei Hashem titaru. And you will see why I specifically started with this Mishnah, because now we're going to Peace by Salvechik, where he talks about the concept of teshuva and Shabbos. So I'm not just giving a teshuva shir. The sources that I prepared are related to the fact that this is a Shabbos kodesh shir, but key words here, Afa Kosh Baruch Hu Mitaher Es Yisrael, and we know we have a concept of Lifnei Hashem Titaru, our Tahara comes before God, as Rabbi Akiva here delineates for us in this Mishnah. Further connection is that Rabbi Akiva's death is recounted on Yom Kippur as part of the Asarhu Gemachos. So now I'm going to go to a different screen share. Good morning, everybody who's joining us. I've got a different screen share. Here we go. Okay, could you see it says on top, Salvechik or Impendence? Yes? Okay, very good. Thank you. So this is from a sefer called Salvechik or Impendence. That's what the title is, not Rav Salvechik. So I'm just saying it like the title is. Okay? Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik. And it's a very beautiful piece. I've never actually taught this piece before. What is teshuva? What is the concept of teshuva? Oh, I needed to show you something first from Sefer Shmuel. Just joking. that I also prepared on my screen. Okay, because Rav Soloveitchik is going to be talking about the concepts of teshuva based on these psukim from Sefer Shmuel. Okay, so we're in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, first book of Samuel, Parak Zayin, psukim Tesvav through Yod Zayin. Okay, Vayishpot Shmuel. So Chana waited many years to have a child. Penina kept having many children. Chani was very pained, and she davened. She went up to Eli. She finally had the child, miraculous child. Parak Bey, she gives her Shira, and Shmuel becomes a great judge in Israel on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. We were 2 years ago. By his, what's it called? Nebi Samuel, they call it. It's in East Jerusalem. We were in Eretz Yisrael 2 summers ago. The tour guide went on the days we went to Nebi Samuel. I don't recall having ever been there. There was a little boy having his chalaka there. Okay. Vayishpot Shmuel Yisrael kol yimei chayav. Shmuel judged Israel all the days of his life. V'halach midei shana b'shana. And he went every year from year to year. V'savav. He made a circle. What was his circle? Okay, Sivivon, sub. What was his circle? From Beis El, Vaha Gigal, Vaha Mitzpah. He went from place to place in a circle. Vishafat Es Yisrael, Is Kohen Mekomos Ha'ila. He went from place to place, judging Israel in all these places. Useshuvaso. So that's going to be the key word of Rav Soloveitchik's piece. And his return. Rama, so you return to Rama. Kisham Beso. So a person making a circle. Shmuel was making a circle. He returned to Rama because there was his home. Visham Shafar Es Yisrael. There he judged Israel. Vayivan Sham Mizbech LaHashem. And he built there an altar to God. So you see the psukim here. Year to year, he would travel, he would journey, he would make a circle to different places in the land of Israel, but then he would return, uteshuvaso haramasa kisham beso, because there was his house. So with those psukim in mind, now we could go to Rav Soloveitchik. Okay, now let's look at this piece by the Rav. Okay, you see I switched back to the Rav? Yes, okay, thank you so much. Okay, so Soloveitchik on repentance. The previous essay, which we're not really going to be looking at in depth, but it's worth, it's a sefer. I just chose one small excerpt for you. He's talking about the fact that Hashem doesn't abandon us even after we sin, like you're going to see in this top paragraph, and it is only God who can extricate us from sin and from the darkness of the dungeon, like we saw in the Mishnah that I began with. Lifnei Hashem titaru, ma mikvah mitahar es hatmeim, af HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitahar es hatmeim. So just like a mikvah purifies those who are impure, Kosh Baruch Hu purifies those who are sinners. So it is for this reason, says the Rav, that Maimonides, the great Rambam, considered it indispensable that the ineffable name, am I saying it right, the Shem and Mefarsh of God, be incorporated within the formula of confession. The previous essay is talking about how the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim would recite the name of God. It's not a name that we are allowed to pronounce. It's not a name that we're allowed to produce. Even the name, when we say the name of Hashem, when we say the Yod, the Hey, then the Vav, then the Hey, how we say it, and when we're making a bracha, we're not really even saying what it says, if you think about that. Okay, we pronounce it Aleph, then Dalet, then Yod, then Aleph, then Dalet, then Nun, then Yod. That's not what the name actually says. Yod, then Hey, then Vav, then Hey is a very different pronunciation than the way we pronounce the name. Okay, so the Rambam considered it indispensable that the ineffable name, and it was a shame of Mefarsh that would come from a P, we talk about in the Avoda, Yotzimi P, Kohen Gadol, it's not a name that we say or that we know, be incorporated within the formula of confession. But why was this name of God, this holy, holy, holy name of God incorporated into the Vidui service, into the confession? Without the name of God, who is there after man sins? So in other words, Hashem never abandons us. Even after you sin, Ha'omer Echtava Shuv, according to Rabbi Elimelech Biderman, every time you sin, you say, I'm really going to do teshuva. I'm never going to do this again. And you mean it. When you clapped Ha'chei last year on Yom Kippur, you really meant it. You really meant you were never going to talk Lashon Hara. You really meant you were never going to sin a schinim. You really meant you were never going to do a chil Hashem. You really meant you were never going to be mezalzel, your teachers or your parents. So what happened? Somehow during the course of the year, you fell off the bandwagon. It wasn't intentional, I'm going to eat a cheeseburger, and then I'm going to go to confession on Sunday morning, and then I'm going to be cleansed. No, you really mean it, but the Yetzer Hara got in the way. But you really repent, and God is there waiting for you. Without the name of God, who is there after man sins, Hashem isn't just there when you are Tahar and Elo Kani Shem Hashem Satabi Tori, and you're never sin. Hashem's always there. He's there after you sin. Without that name of God, man would be ground into dust and oppressed by darkness and death. The only thing that saves us from utter oblivion and falling into despair of our sin is the name of Hashem. And that is why the Rambam says, according to Rav Soloveitchik, the ineffable name is an integral part of the avoda of Yom Kippurim, because it reminds us, Ma mikvah metahar es hatmeim, Av HaKadosh Baruch Hu is metahar Yisrael. Only the name signifying God who does not abandon man after he sins. Hashem never abandons us, even after we sin. He always waits for us. Only that name can lead us back. Only that God who does not abandon the sinner can extricate man from the dark dungeon of iniquity. Look what he calls sin. When a person sins, they are in a dark dungeon of pesha, of iniquity. But we can come back. Now you see the little asterisk? We're going to do the asterisk now, which relates to Shabbos, which is why I specifically prepared a shiur over this piece. And then we're going to come back and talk about, for there was his home. And we're going to talk about Shmuel. Okay? So we're going to go to the asterisk now. So Rav Soloveitchik says, by the way, we did study this. I quoted this outside in the Shabbos Kol Shir a couple of years ago already. So I don't know if anyone remembers, but we're doing it in the context of Teshuvah now. Then I just randomly quoted it, but not random. Must have related something in the Sefer. Now in the context of Teshuvah. Allow me, please, says Rav Soloveitchik, you see the footnote here, to make a private confession concerning a matter that has caused me much loss of sleep. You know, when a person can't sleep, it's usually because something is on their mind, whether they're anxious or they're worried or they're nervous about something. So Soloveitchik says he is a confession, a private confession concerning a matter that has caused him much loss of sleep. What is that matter? I am not so very old, says the Rav. Yet I remember a time when 90% of world Jewry were observant and the secularists were a small minority at the fringes of the camp. Remember, he grew up, his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the son of Rav Chaim Brisker, was the town rabbi in Kaslavish in White Russia. And he spent time with his grandfather in Brisk, Zecher Tzadikim Mekdoshim Evracha. And the Rav says, I remember a time when 90% of world Jewry were observant and the secularists were a small minority at the fringes of the camp. What could we say today? Unfortunately, it's Lahafach. You know that. The large percentage of world Jewry is secular. Or perhaps many are totally unaffiliated. And today the observant are at the fringes of the camp. I'm talking about world Jewry. I'm not talking about in our community, okay? I'm not talking about in Likud. I'm talking about world Jewry. I still remember, it was not so long ago, says Rav Soloveitchik, when Jews were still close to God and lived in an atmosphere pervaded with holiness. You feel Hashem, you feel the Kedusha in life. But today, what do we see? The profane and the secular are in control wherever we turn. It's been referred to as a spiritual holocaust, not by myself. I believe it was Rav Noach Weinberg who speaks about it. The great Gedolim speak about it, that in the aftermath, the decades after August, there's been so much return, Baruch Hashem, return to Torah, and there's a tremendous Baal Tshuva movement, but there's also so much secularization, especially in the Golden and Medina and the melting pot of America, Taka, the melting pot. It has not served us so well in all regards. But today, what do we see? The profane and the secular are in control wherever we turn. Even in those neighborhoods made up of predominantly religious Jews, one can no longer talk of the sanctity of Shabbos Day, the Kedusha of the Yom HaShabbos. True, there are Jews in America who observe the Sabbath. The label Sabbath observer, like Shmira Shabbos, Shomer Shabbos, has come to be used as a title of honor in our circles, just like Harav HaGaon. I'm smiling because my husband was just telling me the other week that there are so many titles now to refer to different Rabbanim. You have a lot of titles. So Yerub Soloveitchik says is the title. It's become a term of honor, Harav HaGaon. So too, it's a term of honor when a Jew is described as a Shomer Shabbos Jew. But, says the Rav, neither really indicates anything. Rachman al-Tzlan, anyone practically could be a Rav Gaon, and anyone could call themselves a Shomer Shabbos. A term doesn't really indicate anything, and in fact testifies to the lowly state of our generation. But it is not for the Sabbath that my heart aches, as well, because there are those who still keep the Shabbos. It is for the forgotten Erev Shabbos. It must have been when we were learning a couple of years ago, Rav Shimshon Pikus must have been talking about Erev Shabbos. So what is our home like Erev Shabbos? What's our attitude like Erev Shabbos? What's our level of preparedness on Erev Shabbos? Do we have an excitement when we wake up on Yom Shishi in the morning? Or is it just another day that I have to get through? There are Sabbath observing Jews in America, but there are not Erev Shabbos Jews who go to greet the Shabbos with beating hearts and pulsating souls. We know that the Kabbalists in the 16th century in Tzfat, those who established the Lecha Dodi prayer and the Kabbalah Shabbos order of Tefillah, they would mamash go into the fields dressed in white and they would greet the Shabbos. And today, says the Rav, he has to question if though there are, yes, Shomer Shabbos Jews, are there Erev Shabbos Jews? If anybody has Salvechik on repentance, this is the footnote to page 88 and 89, if you're interested where I'm quoting from. But it is not for the Sabbath Jews that my heart aches. It is for the forgotten Erev Shabbos Jews, those who go to greet Shabbos with beating hearts and pulsating souls. There are many who observe the precepts and mitzvahs with their hands, with their feet, with their mouths. So in other words, we have external observation of the mitzvos and the halachos of Shabbos. And that's good. Beficha ubilvav chala asoso. We need the external observance, or there is no observance, but you also need the internal passion, the internal excitement, the internal dveikus. But there are few, says the Rav, indeed, few, who truly know the meaning of service of the heart. So here he is differentiating between externally being ready for Shabbos, so the house is in order, and you did all your bishul before, and all the lights are set, and there's not going to be, you went to the bakery, so you don't have to bake on Shabbos, and let's say you're only going to use cold water, but are you just doing it by rote, or is there a passion and excitement internally for what we are doing? Do we know not only chovas ha'evarim, the duties of the limbs, do we know chovas ha'levavos, the duties of the heart? 1 second. Oh, very nice. I'm so happy. Baruch Hashem. Good. What is the percentage of religious Jews today in contrast to the 90% only two generations ago? So in other words, what's the percentage? Not 2 decades ago. So obviously this was said, I don't know, the 50s, the 60s, a long time ago. It was 90% observant, 10% secular. What is the percentage of religious Jews today in contrast to when it was 90% only 2 generations ago? It seems to me religious Jewry survives today solely by the force of the name of God who is there after man's sin. So this is how he relates this to this piece, very beautiful, moving, Musarvar, really, on Shabbos. It's not just about the external aspects of Shmira Shabbos. It's about the longing and the passion and the internal connection for Shmira Shabbos as well. So how do we survive? Remember, the first paragraph we began with before the asterisk was that the ineffable name of God is an integral part of our teshuva service, because that is Hashem who always waits for man even after he sins. So how have we survived if the majority of world Jewry is secular, unaffiliated, and even assimilated? Yes, Rachmana Litzlan. So how have we survived? It seems to me religious Jewry survives, say it's an ace, solely by force of the name of God who is there after man's sins. Hashem never abandons his nation. Otherwise, we should have utterly despaired and given into that feeling with which I am often overcome as I lay awake at night, that we are building castles of sand, and at any moment a wave will come and wipe everything out. Is there substance to what we are building in our Yahadus? It's nice if you have an external beautiful sandcastle, but is there a foundation to your building? What is the internal aspect of our Avodas Hashem? How do we greet the Shabbos? What's the tone in the home? What's the tone in our voice? What is the level of preparedness on Erev Shabbos? But God, who is there after man's sins, does not allow us to despair. How are we still here? It's true. How are we still here? Both physically after B'chol Dor V'Dor Amdi Malein Nuchaloseinu, and spiritually after so much assimilation. How are we still here? How are we still learning Torah? How are we still keeping mitzvos? How is this possible that a teeny nation who saw his Kamal in the first place compared to the nations of the world, is still here. It's because of God who is there after a man sins, who does not allow us to despair. He whispers in our ear, Yerushalayim harim savivlo. And what's the end of the pasuk? The Rav Soloveitchik doesn't finish here. Hashem saviv la'amo. And it's interesting because he doesn't relate this to his next part about Sefer Shmuel, but the fact that he quotes this pasuk here, Yerushalayim harim saviv la'amo, Hashem saviv la'amo, reminds us of the piece we're going to go to shortly about Shmuel. Remember, he was miso babe. He went from mitzvah, Gilgal. I don't remember the exact pasuk. What does it say? I'll tell you. The halach midei shana b'shana v'savav, v'isal v'hagigal v'hamitzvah v'savav. So going back to the Rav, Jerusalem is surrounded by mountains. God whispers in our ear, meaning just like Yerushalayim is surrounded by mountains, Am Yisrael is surrounded by Hashem. One must do much climbing and hard work to rise up in avodas Hashem. You have to climb and you have to work hard. You have to grasp every handhold on the side of the mountain. You have to grasp every outcrop of stone. Sometimes you will slide backward and try again to climb the mountain so as to be able to reach Yerushalayim. So the ascent up to the mount of the Lord, the Rav says in a different piece, is often accompanied by, in my own words, two steps forward and one step back. And even it's true when it comes to our Shmir Shabbos, we're working so hard on our Hava Shabbos, sometimes you might feel you're making progress, and then, revert back to your old behavior. But it doesn't mean we don't stop climbing. Mi ya'ala bahar Hashem, says the Rav, umi yakum b'makam kadsho, quoting Sefer HaTehillim, David HaMelech, who will climb the mount of the Lord, who will ascend to his holy place. I do not believe, says the Rav, it is easy to return and repent. It is not easy. But ha'omer echtav ashuv, I really mean it. But if I chas v'shalom fall and slip, ashuv, immediately I'm going to do teshuva. It is not easy to return and repent. It's not easy to change yourself. The path of repentance, teshuva, for the individual, as well as the community, when we look at the state of Knesset Yisrael as a whole, again, I'm not talking about the Five Towns, and I'm not talking about Lakewood, and I'm not talking about Bnei Brak, I'm talking about world Jewry as a whole, what is our state as a nation. The path of repentance for the individual, each one of us, the teshuva process that we have to undergo during these 40 days, from Rosh Chodesh El through Yom Kippurim, as well as the teshuva of the community. It is an arduous path and journey. And there are many boulders strewn about. And we need supreme effort to overcome. The road is long and torturous. However, one can arrive at the stage of Lifnei Hashem Titaru, which is why it began in the Mishnah Maseches Yuma, because there Rabbi Akiva speaks about the fact that it is God who cleanses us. It is Hashem who gives us repentance, which I think, of course, relates very much to this piece by Rav Soloveitchik. The road is long and torturous. Excuse me. Until one arrives at the stage of Lifnei Hashem Titaru, it is the cleansing, it is the name of God who is there before a man sins, and it is the name of God who is there after man sins that can help us climb up to that mountain. So obviously I thought that this is a very beautiful and powerful piece. In fact, someone reached out to me, that was the private message on the chat, and she says she does remember when we learned it a couple of years ago because it made such an impression on her. So it's not only the Sabbath observance, but what about our Erev Shabbos? And that's something to keep in mind, perhaps. You know, everyone knows what they're going to work on a Tafshin Pei Beis. It's between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam, of course. But something to keep in mind as we enter into the new year with regard to our Shmira Shabbos is the importance of the feeling, the Kedusha, the environment and the aura of being not only a Shabbos Jew, but an Erev Shabbos Jew. You know, when do you get dressed for Shabbos? Is it after you light candles, you know, I don't know, in your jean skirt on your tichel or a baseball cap or whatever it is, and then after you go to get dressed for the meal? That's a little bit backwards, as we have been learning. When we welcome the Shabbos Queen, we should be ready to welcome the Shabbos Queen. That means our Erev Shabbos tone has to change if we want to be ready appropriately for Shabbos. So it's something very important to think about. And it's also relevant to consider that Hashem and his ineffable name is part of the teshuva and confession process because he is there to help us. If you want to improve, the Ribbono Shel Olam will help you. You must show him the effort. You must make the first opening, but then he will make you a grand opening. So let us now go back to the rest of this piece by the Rav. And this relates to the part about Shmuel, which is why we looked at those psukim before. What is the meaning of the word teshuva? Every word on Lashon HaKodesh, you have to know what it means. Sometimes we translate a word, but it's not really an accurate translation. Like, I'm going to give you an example. Chas v'shalom, we say, means God forbid. Chas v'shalom doesn't literally mean God forbid. Chas means mercy and shalom means peace, okay? You don't say mercy and peace. We intend to say God forbid. But chas means mercy. Chas v'kosh baruch ha'kvon shal brios. And shalom means peace. So I think people would look at you like you're pretty crazy if you started to say mercy and peace. That's what we're really saying. Hashem should give us mercy and he should have peace. He should have mercy upon us and grant us peace. Okay, so what? You have to know what words mean. Hakar sotov does not mean to say thank you. Hakar sotov means to recognize the good. You got to know what words mean in Lashon HaKodesh if you want to study a concept. What is the meaning of the word teshuva? What is the exact etymological significance of the term? What does teshuva mean? Teshuva this, teshuva that. What is teshuva? In the Bible, in Tanakh, says the Rav, the word bears a specific connotation at the return of the year. So he mentions a pasuk from Sefer Shmuel Beis, and from Malachim Aleph, and from Divrei Yamim Aleph, and elsewhere. I did not, in all honesty, look up all those psukim. Okay? It is a specific connotation, which means at the return of the year. Which is interesting because we talk about doing teshuvah at the end and at the return of a year. That is at the termination of the year cycle. Okay, the word appears in the following context, which is what I showed you on the screen from Sefer Shmuel. So you already saw it in the Lashon of the Nach, the Navi. And Shmuel judged all of Israel. All the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit. Remember, he made a circle. To Beit El, and Gilgal, and Mitzpeh. And he judges in all those places. U'sishuvaso haramasa. You saw it before on the screen. And he returned to Ramah. Why? Kisham beso. This right away gives you an idea of what it means to return unto God. Ramah is the heights. You return unto the heights, the high one. Ram al kol goyim Hashem. Hashem is the Rome. Kisishuvaso haramasa, turn to the one who is Ram al kol goyim, kisham beso, because Hashem is your house. Achash al timeis Hashem, osavaki, shifti beveis Hashem, koyime chayai. Achazos benoam Hashem, levaka behechalo. Usishuvaso haramasa, you must return to the one who is Rome al kol goyim, the most high over all nations. Kisham beso, because in the Ribbono Shel Olam you have a home. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his home. And there he judged Israel. And there, Vayivan Shem Mizbeach Hashem, he built an altar unto the Lord. Here too, the word teshuva bears the connotation of completing a circle. So Salvechik brings us different proofs from various places in Nach, where teshuva is at the end of a year, the completion of a year, the start of a year, meaning sovev, you're going in a circle. After Shmuel would make a circuit throughout Israel, he would return to Ramah, for there was his home. So what is teshuva, says Rav? Again, we're trying to identify the exact etymology of the word to understand what it means to us. Teshuva, repentance, signifies a circular motion based on these sources in Nach. When one finds himself on the circumference, remember Matt from a long time ago? I just saw something so cute in Mishpacha magazine. It was Mishpacha Teen from last week or the week before. He interviewed this one girl, and she said her favorite expression is, math, grow up and do your own problems. So for those of you who love math, you may not appreciate the joke. For those of us who are stronger in English language arts, it's very cute. Math, grow up and solve your own problems. So my mom finds himself on the circumference of a large circle. It sometimes seems the starting point is becoming farther and farther removed. So in other words, if you're in a circle, circumference of a circle, okay, you could imagine to yourself with a command. So you're starting here. And then what happens is, as you are traveling the circumference of the circle, it seems you're getting actually farther away from the starting point, right? If you start at the starting point where my thumb and my forefinger are together, I know you move around the circumference of the circle. So what it actually seems is I'm going very, very far away from the starting point of the circle. (Clears throat) Someone was saying also that she learned in the past that the year is like a circle, going around in a circle, but hopefully we're going higher, not just staying in the same circle, but rising up. Okay, well, Rav finds himself in the circumference of a large circle. It sometimes seems that the starting point is becoming farther and farther removed, but actually, paradoxically, as you go farther and farther away from the starting point, what are you really doing? What are you really doing? Coming back to the starting point. So even though it seems you're journeying away from the starting point, in journeying away, you're really returning. You understand? It makes a lot of sense. Draw yourself a circle on the page. Now follow away from the starting point with your pen. While you're getting farther away from the starting point, you're actually returning back to the starting point itself. When one finds himself in the circumference of a large circle, it sometimes seems the starting point is becoming farther and farther removed. But actually, says Zarav, it's getting closer and closer. But the return of the year, meaning on Rosh Hashanah, a new calendar year begins. It's going to be one Tishrei. On Tuesday, Bezer Hashem, Monday night begins Rosh Hashanah. And with every passing day of that new calendar year, one gets farther away from the starting point. So on 2 Tishrei, you're moving a little bit farther from the starting point. And then on 2 Cheshvan, you're even farther. And then on 2 Kislev, you're even farther. And then on 2 Tammuz, you're really far away from the starting point. But every passing day, while it moves you away from the starting point, is also a return. Because it's not a linear line. It's a circle. Every passing day is also a return, a drawing near to the completion of the year cycle. Drawing nearer and nearer, paradoxically, as you move farther away from Rosh Hashanah, the new year, the head of the year, if I want to be literal, you're moving closer to the head of the new year. Usteshuvaso haramasa. His return was to Ramah. Shmuel went in a circuit. The moment he left Ramah, he's starting to move away from his starting point. With the goal of making a full circuit, Beit El, Gilgal, Mitzpah, he was already returning to Ramah. For it was there that he made his home, Kisham Beso. There in Ramah, Taim Tzofim, lived his mother Chana. There he spent his childhood. There were his roots. Shmuel was a leader and a judge for all of Israel. He made a circuit of all of Israel's scattered living places. He was journeying away from his home. And journeying away from the home, he was going farther and farther. But because he's traveling in a circle, he's actually coming closer and closer to his home. And that is the nimshel for us in our lives. While coming up to Rosh Hashanah, it's the beginning of the year, and everything is fresh, and everything is brand new. But with each passing day, we're moving farther and farther away. But really, we're moving closer and closer back to the Ribono Shel Olam. But everywhere he went, he was really heading for home. He belonged to all of Israel, for the land of Israel was his home. But his true home was in only one place, Ramah. Kisham Beso, like the Pasuk says. Only there could he construct the altar of God. It doesn't say he made the altar in Mitzpah or in Gilgal. It says he made the altar where his home was. An altar, Mizbech, symbolizes complete subjugation of a person before the Ribono Shel Olam. And Shmuel judged Israel there from his home all the days of his life. He served as a leader and judge in many different places. But the force of his leadership stemmed from his home, from Ramah. No matter how great a man may be, he cannot leave his ancestral home. And that's true of us and the Ribono Shel Olam. Hashem is our home. Shifti beveis Hashem kol yemei chayi. David HaMelech was busy building a city and an army and conquering territory and fighting enemies. But what did he really want? Shifti beveis Hashem kol yemei chayai. Whatever I'm doing, it's as if I'm dwelling in the house of the Lord. And by the way, shifti, it's the same root. Lashev, teshuvah. No matter how great a man can be, he cannot leave his ancestral home. All of his judgments are derived from there. This is the secret source, says the Rav, of teshuvah, repentance. An individual Jew cannot sever himself ever from a Kosh Baruch Hu. That's matter. It's interesting that he brings us the peace of Shabbos and Erev Shabbos, Jews, of observant Jews and secular Jews, in the context of this idea that an individual Jew never severs himself completely from a Kosh Baruch Hu. No matter how far a Jew may seem away from God, he is always on a circular path back to God. The community of Israel cannot travel on a straight path away from God. It's not a line. It's interesting. Before they discovered the world was round, people thought it was flat. Hashem made around the world. Perhaps there's an illusion here. Okay, flat would mean you could go farther and farther away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. And as you move farther and farther away from the Borei Olam, you're not coming back close. Because if the Borei Olam created a world and you start here and it's flat, you can always move farther and farther away from God, Kaviyacha. But if the world is a globe and it's a circle, and wherever you are in the globe, you're really coming back to your home. Your home is God. The community of Israel cannot travel on a straight path away from God. It is always in the path of return and repentance, because we're in a circle of going. You might go away from God, and that's what sin is. You could be a chozer, you could be a Torah Shomer Shabbos person from the first place, but every sin is going away from God. But then we come back to Him. In your distress, when all of these things come upon you, b'tzar lecha, b'tzucha, you will return to the Lord your God. I think it's from Sefer Devarim, Perek Dalet. The circle may be very large. It may have an immense radius. You might feel so far away from Hashem. But those who follow its path are moving, must move, always move in a circular direction. It means you're never out of the circumference of God's circle. The community of Israel simply cannot escape the circular route. God is there before man's sins, and God is there after man's sins. By the way, that is a God of relevance to Yom Kippur. When we say the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, which during the Ila we repeat repeatedly, Hashem Hashem Kel Racham V'chan and Erech Apayim, why is there two names of Hashem? What's Hashem Hashem? Just tell me one name of Hashem. Hashem. Rashi says, one name of Hashem is Kodem Shayechta, and the other name of Hashem is Achtor Shayechta V'yashuv. Why do you need two names of Hashem in the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, which are a major part of our liturgy during the Yamim Noraim? Because you need God to be there both times. Before you sin, you need the mercy of God. And after you sin and you repent, you also need the mercy of God. If God is not merciful, then your repentance won't help. All the repentance in the world won't help if Hashem doesn't accept you back. Achas kodem sheyachta, v'achas achar sheyachta v'yashuv, says Rashi. Were invoked after the Chet HaEgel, when Hashem said, Moshe, I'm going to give you the secret of teshuvah and of mercy. God, who is there after man's sins, bars man from taking a straight path away from Him. I just looked at the time, and I want to quote a different source after this. Let's just finish this. Man may wander about in circles and become entangled in all sorts of vain causes, and you may pursue empty ideas. That's what the Rambam says. Ruru Yishen Mishna Seichem V'Hakitzun Yerdami Mitardeschem. That's the remez of the shofar, says the Rambam. Wake up. These are people who spend all year, says the Rambam, Behevlei Hazman, wasting time. Asher lo ya'il v'lo yatzil. It's not going to help us, wasting time. The inanities, the nothingness, the shtus with which we are busy, says the Rambam, lo ya'il v'lo yatzil. It's not going to help you. It's not going to save you. You have to check your deeds. We spend time in all sorts of vain causes. We pursue empty ideas. He may believe he has found the true goal of life as he fights for socialism, for civil rights, for communism. It gives you a time period of maybe this was the 50s, or for any of the other isms that we put so much faith in. Man may make a circuit, Beit El, Gilgal, Mitzpah. Man searches for gods, lowercase g. He overturns worlds. It may appear to him he can see ahead and there's a new and better future. Better than Torah, that's for the Altaheim. No, always and ever, his return, usis shuvaso haramasa kisham beso. And I am interpreting this in a homiletic level. Usis shuvaso haramasa, return to the one who is Rome. That's God, Rama Kol Gai Mashem. Kisham beso, like David HaMelech says, shifti, shin beis, erzu regan beveso sham. We must always turn to the high source, the highest being, because there is our home. God, who is there after man's sins, gives him no peace. Soon his world will be overturned. He will be banished from Beit El, from Gilgal, from Mitzpah. The people will cry out after him. He's giving this as a parable. He's not talking about Sefer Shmuel himself, but he's saying that sin chases after us. Isms, we chase after them. And we think that there we find security in the isms of the world, in the ideals of the modern day world, the newfangled thoughts of a modern society. But the world calls after us dirty dude, traitor, exploiter, cosmopolitan. And willingly or not, the Jew returns to Rama, to his home, where his mother welcomes him with her loving supplication. Hashem is both Malkeinu, our king, but he's also Avinu, our father. Hashem welcomes us. Hashem, who took care of us when we lay in the cradle and we absorbed the affectionate, I don't know what that next word is, dulcet, D-U-L-C-E-T, melodies. You can understand what it means. Sanctum by his mother. Usushuvaso haramasa. We travel a circuit in our lives as Ovdei Hashem. We're never on a straight line, because if you're on a straight line, you could move very, very, very far away from the source and the starting point. But if you're in a circle, as you move farther away from the starting point, paradoxically, you're moving closer. That's our journey in this world. And that's our relationship with God. All of us are sinners. I say, I'm not trying to insult anybody. It's just, we're not malachim. We're just people. We've done things wrong. And those sins take us away from Hashem. But you're on a circle where the Ribbono Shel Olam and his mercy will always take you back. You can imagine the circle starts with the two Sheim Hashems. Achas kodem sheyachta, achas achas sheyachta v'yashuv. You start to move away and you sin. You're really ultimately always coming back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We travel a circuit, but we find our way back home to a starting point. We may be very far. Shalom, shalom, l'rachok v'lo karov, amar Hashem urifa isiv. We might be very far, but Hashem will heal us. We will make our way back home to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I did want to quote another source, but I definitely don't have time. I did really choose this piece because of the footnote. And it's a lesson for Shabbos, and it's a lesson for Erev Shabbos, and it's a lesson for welcoming the Shabbos in a different state of mind than perhaps we have been doing, and obviously a lot of thoughts onto the power of Teshuvah, where we're holding on the circle, where we need to be, and ultimately where we are always traveling to. So I thank our sponsor and our family very much for your support of this year, not only today, but the whole past year of Tashem Pei Aleph. We're enhancing our Shmir Shabbos and our Ahava Shabbos. May it bring Zichuya to you and your family for many Shabbosos celebrated in good health and in great nachas. Abiyas Kol Tzedek. Be'ezros Hashem and Tavshim Pei Beis. We should bring our learning to higher heights. Shushuvaso Haramasa. Kisham Biso. I wish you a kasiva v'chasima tova. And thank you so much to everybody. Kol Tov. Kol Tov. Thank you.